This is Digital Story Podcast number 574, March 7th, 2017. Today's theme is capturing raw HDR with your smartphone. I'm Derek Story. Adobe just announced a Lightroom mobile update that includes an HDR feature that makes use of the raw capture capability of the latest mobile devices. The app instructs your camera phone to scan the scene to determine the exposure range, then it captures three DNG files that it uses to build an HDR image. We wanted to learn more about this, so we invited Adobe's Josh Haftel to the show to explain how this all works. And that's our lead story for today. I'm going to bring Josh on here in just a few minutes. Just wanted to give you a little bit of background. This is pretty exciting stuff. If your smartphone can capture in RAW and you've loaded the latest version of Lightroom Mobile that was just released, I believe it was today, as I'm recording this on Monday, then you can use this technique. And basically what Adobe has done is they have brought that wonderful HDR building technology that we've been using in Lightroom on the desktop, they've brought it to mobile devices. And that is pretty incredible. So let's talk with Josh a bit. Let's learn a little bit more about RAW photography in general on mobile devices. We'll evolve into this new feature of Lightroom Mobile. And then I'll come back on. I'll have a few closing remarks. And then I've got a couple other stories for you that I think you'll be interested in. So just stay tuned. I got a great show for you today. But right now, here's Josh. All right, Josh, it's so good to get you on the line here. Why don't you start out by telling folks what you do at Adobe, and then we've got some great new stuff to talk about.
Cool. Yeah. So hey, thanks for having me on the show, Derek. Really appreciate it. My name is Josh. I work over here at Adobe, and my title is Product Manager, Mobile Photography Solutions. That basically means that I'm here at Adobe to help guide and design some of the solutions and offerings in our software space, i.e. apps, for mobile photographers, as well as photographers that want to get mobile devices into their photography workflows. So both sides and helping out to design how that works.
Sounds like a great job, actually.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Definitely had a... I was very lucky when I got the phone call.
Yeah, no kidding. So anyway, what I want to focus on today, there's all sorts of stuff we could talk about, but what I want to focus on today is really how RAW is changing mobile photography and what's going on at Adobe. So let's just start out with, you know, you guys bringing RAW into mobile photography, and then we've got an announcement to talk about that even takes that a step further.
So, I mean, it's a good point. I mean, one thing we should say is that it really is, I mean, how to say who did what. I mean, the reality, though, is that Apple and Android, Google, brought RAW into photography. They are using the Adobe format, DNG, the digital negative format, and it's something that we created as a standard to help make it easier for camera manufacturers and other companies to bring RAW into the world, so to speak, and simplify things and make it easier for people to access their files and even ensure there's longevity by making it an open standard so that if Adobe were to go out of business, God forbid, you know, there would still be a way of opening your files. So the DNG format is something that Adobe created, but it really is thanks to Apple and Google for integrating that format into their devices and giving photographers the option to select that as a format, really, to be able to capture their images in. So I think it's awesome. It's really, really exciting, and it goes to show that everybody, from the manufacturers all the way down to the photographers, are starting to see these mobile devices as these serious capture devices. They've moved away from the little postage stamp sized photos that you could create out of them in the days of the flip phones, and are now being used in, I mean, we saw people using their cameras in the Olympics for the covers of big magazines, on billboards, all over the place. People are using photos that are coming from these devices that are all over the place. They're in our pockets, and now they're being used to capture really, really high quality photos. And by taking RAW photos, it gives us even more opportunity which I think is, again, really just super exciting and a great progress in the world of photography.
You know, as you guys, you know, study your audience and so forth, what percentage of the audience do you think really cares about raw photography on a smartphone? Because, you know, we know a lot of folks are just using their mobile devices to capture family moments and all that. So you must have some feel for, you know, why would somebody want to shoot raw on a phone? And, you know, who are those people?
It's a pretty complex question you just asked, actually, because the fun part about what we get to do or at least what I get to do, you know, if you think about Adobe, let's put it this way, you think about Adobe, you think about Photoshop, you think about Lightroom. Hopefully you don't think about Flash as that thing that keeps on popping up saying, hey, it's time to update Flash. But you think about these desktop products and you think about, I mean, I remember I used Photoshop for the first time in like 93 or something. It's crazy how long we've been using these products. So the idea of mobile photography is quite an interesting new idea. And so a lot of our photographers are still coming to understanding what opportunities mobile gives you. So it's something we've seen that those people who are using Adobe products for capturing photos, the vast majority of them are capturing in the raw format. What percentage of people are using, let's say, Lightroom Mobile as a capture device? It's lower because for a number of reasons. And one, for better or for worse, the Apple camera or the stock camera on your Android device are usually super, super fast to open up. For those people that are familiar with the iPhone, you know that you can access the Apple camera directly from the lock screen. And so that means that, like, if something's happening, if I've got to make the decision between capturing a shot or missing a shot, I'm going to capture the shot. And a blurry shot or a JPEG shot or an underexposed shot, whatever that is better usually than no shot at all. So a lot of times capturing the shot quickly is super important. But also the fact that we're thinking about our phones still as these devices for family photography, taking pictures at the bar, you know, taking pictures of cats and lattes. that's still the primary use case that we're thinking about our phones. And what part of what I think is exciting about what we've seen with Google and the Google Pixel or Apple and their iPhone or Samsung and the S7, LG and the G5. I mean, there's a lot of Huawei and the P9. A lot of companies out there are definitely putting their devices front and center and saying, hey, these things are designed for photography. And we're slowly seeing a big change in people taking more and more photos inside of the Lightroom app because it can do RAW, because it gives you more control than the stock app, because it integrates directly into your Lightroom ecosystem, because it synchronizes with your desktop at home, because it synchronizes with your iPad. I mean, all these various benefits that you get from shooting inside of this application, people are starting to recognize it, and they're starting to see their phones not as this toy, not as this Angry Birds carrying device, but as this mechanism that you can use that either A, in the scenario where you have nothing else, you forgot your camera at home and an amazing sunset is happening, well, shoot, I got a camera, let's take a picture. Or B, they're actually thinking proactively and saying, you know what? I want to go out and take pictures today, but I don't want to carry my big camera, and my phone is doing a great job. I'm going to use it, and I'm going to go inside of this very intentional photographic mode using my phone as this walk-around photography device. I do a lot of talks at different kinds of events, and one of the things that I like to tell photographers is, you know, especially if you're doing street photography, the phone is so ubiquitous that people don't think about it, and you don't get people clenching up and grimacing when you point a phone at them, and you can be a little bit stealthy taking street photos with your phone and not getting people to pose. And you get a much better reaction based off of a small innocuous device than you do if you were pointing your big old digital SLR with your 70 to 200 at somebody. You're going to get a very different shot. And so there's benefits that you have with these devices that you don't have otherwise. And we're seeing more and more people recognizing that. And that's a pretty exciting transition.
It is an exciting transition. And to go back to an earlier point, you said, yes, on an iPhone, from the lock screen, you can just swipe left from right to left and you go right into the camera. Mm-hmm. What we'd like to see, and maybe I just don't know about this yet, but boy, it'd be great if we had a button then that we could say we want to capture in RAW at that moment.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, Lightroom Mobile is fantastic, and shooting with that camera as a DNG file, and then using the tools that you guys have put into Lightroom Mobile, which are great editing tools. They're really good. I use an iPhone 6S, and I love editing in Lightroom Mobile. And then to have that image automatically show up in Lightroom on your desktop, looking, you know, really good, I have to say, where you can, you know, do some more stuff if you want, and it goes right into your library. That's a good workflow. And I think for those times, like you said, when you want to capture a really nice shot for whatever reason, knowing that you can do that raw workflow and have those images go into Lightroom and know that you can continue to get everything that's possible out of your camera, that is a wonderful option. That really is.
We're seeing this kind of evolution of these phones. Like every couple of generations of these phones, the sensors are getting significantly better. The noise rates are going down. The ability to do more and more things. We've seen like different cameras, either the LG G5 or the iPhone 7 Plus. They have two lenses, and you can swap back and forth between shooting a telephoto or a wide-angle lens. You've got the ability to start doing these multiple shots to capture like depth effects. I mean, you're seeing more and more interesting things happening on these devices.
Well, let's just take it to the next step right now. And let's talk about, you know, what you guys have just announced, which I think takes all of this to another level.
What we're seeing is you've got your digital cameras, your digital SLR, your mirrorless camera, and they have a number of reasons why they might be better. And just recently we released an update to Lightroom that addresses one of those issues, which is the dynamic range. Sure, capturing a RAW file on your mobile device versus a JPEG on your mobile device is the RAW file will have a larger dynamic range. You can recover some of those highlights. But even that RAW file on a digital SLR is going to be bigger or more dynamic range than the RAW file on your mobile device. And that's why we released this RAW HDR workflow inside of Lightroom Mobile that you can, it'll automatically capture three shots, merge those three shots together, and using the same technology that many of your listeners may already be familiar with, either inside of the Photoshop workflow or inside of the Lightroom workflow, which is the merging to HDR, using that exact same technology, the exact same algorithms, having that run on your device, either your iPhone or your Android device, and giving you the ability to merge those images together and get access to a wide, wide range of raw image data. That gives you the ability to have a much wider dynamic range than you had access to before, and gives you that ability to capture difficult images or images where the lighting is really, really tricky, and still being able to operate in RAW, which means you still have access to the change in the white balance to whatever you want it to be, to ensuring that we're not having any kind of processing baked in. You don't have a certain level of sharpening or contrast or saturation that you might have baked into a non-RAW file. You don't have the JPEG compression. You have the wider dynamic range. I mean, heck, a 32-bit file has that much more dynamic range than a 16-bit file. And so we're creating this 32-bit DNG right in your phone. You press one button, it'll automatically analyze the scene, figure out what's the right underexposure level, the right overexposure level, and capture them and merge them right away. And that just gives you that much more control. And again, keeping it in the raw format just means that you can keep on editing and it's all non-destructive. So that means that you can make a decision on the phone. And if you go back to your desktop and realize, oh shoot, I added too much contrast. I was a little too bit excited there. Let's back that off. You can do that and you don't lose anything. So there's definitely a lot of really cool capabilities that having this raw HDR workflow enables you on the mobile device. And it's just yet another step in the direction of making your phone that much more capable of a device. And it's not aiming to replace your digital SLR, but it's definitely aiming to be seen as close to an equivalent as possible. The kind of analogy I use is, I don't see my rangefinder camera as a replacement to my digital SLR, and that my digital SLR is not a replacement to my view camera. These are just different devices for different purposes. And so our goal, my goal definitely, is that folks will see their phone in their pocket as an equal member of their photography toolkit.
Now, one of the things that I like about HDR merge in Lightroom, which I think is a really nice merge, is that it's very photographic. So, you know, they're not trying to do, you know, sort of these garish effects that, that we sometimes see with HDR. It's very photographic. But it always feels like to me that the Lightroom HDR merge is giving you this solid file for you then to edit and make the kind of HDR that you want to make. In other words, when it's first merged, it's a little boring, in all honesty, and then it's up to you, you know, to tap that data to make it great. How do you envision the HDR workflow now on Lightroom Mobile? Is it that same sort of thing where you get this basic file that's really deep and then it's up to us to interpret it? Or is the mobile version doing a bit more interpretation?
What we want to do is we always want to keep this similarity between the different products. And so we are coming back with the image as this 32-bit HDR DNG file. We do automatically apply the autotone functionality, and that's one of the options you have in the merged HDR on the desktop. So we're doing that automatically because what we found was the vast majority of all the images were coming back just pitch dark, and you couldn't see anything inside of them. And it's not that there wasn't data there. The data was there. It's just that you see it, and the first reaction was like, oh, that didn't work. So we wanted to make sure that folks didn't feel like, you know, something went out the window. But that being said, these are all still non-destructive. These are all just starting points. So you can then go in there and modify it. And what we want to do is we want to make that process better and better. You know, the first step of this auto HDR, it's good, it's fine. I'm never happy with anything. Like I gotta build in my own job security. So I'll say that's not good enough, and we gotta make that better. And so that's kind of what I'm excited about, is that we have this interest in constantly evolving and constantly making it better and giving a better and better starting point, so that then photographers don't have to spend all the time just getting it to the first point and then adding their own special touches on top of it. We want to just be able to say, here's a good starting point, now go and make it look the way you want it to look. And so I feel like what we've done in this first release by just utilizing the built-in autotone mechanism was a good first start, and I'm looking forward to continue to evolve that path there.
Yeah, that does sound like a good first start. You know, I mean, part of it is you're just going, I got it. You know, I mean, I have a raw file of that sunset. So, I mean, there's a certain amount of comfort in that right there. Even if it's not even if it's not exactly the way you want it to look on your phone at that moment, you know that, well, you know, you can go off to Starbucks and play with a little bit on the phone. And then post it up on Instagram, or it's going to show up in your desktop version of Lightroom, and then you really can go to town on it and get it exactly the way you want. So I think just knowing that you have all that data captured, that's a good thing for enthusiast photographers, especially who are serious about it. But I also agree with you in that, you know, a lot of people do want instant gratification, and that is a good goal to keep working toward with this process. So for some folks, they want to see a really great image, you know, pretty fast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the great thing about photography is that photography is many different things to different people. When you're shooting a photo, for some folks, the art of photography is capturing that right photo, being able to be at the right place at the right time, making sure that they have the right equipment, understanding composition, understanding exposure, making sure that they're capturing the moment. And that's the art of photography. And that point, you know, that's what I want to share. I don't want to spend a whole bunch of time processing and editing the photo. I just want to get this photo. I was able to capture it, and that was the important thing to me. Whereas other people, the photography journey only starts at the shutter click. That's where the whole process of the journey continues. It's like 50% was capturing the photo, 50% is processing the photo. And so there's no right or wrong inside of this. I mean, that's the wonderful thing about any kind of art. There's all a wide range of everything is correct.
You know, it's really about options, right?
Yeah, and that's what we're trying to focus on is making sure that you have these options. And it doesn't mean that you only use this, but it means that you just add it into that toolkit. I mean, I think one of the wonderful things about being a photographer, and also double-edged sword, one of the worst things about being a photographer is our love of toys and gadgets and new kinds of equipment. And so on one side, I'm like, hey, I get another thing in my toolkit. So that's great. It's a lot cheaper than whenever I buy a new Leica glass, right? So I already have the phone. All I do is update the app.
Well, you know, what's the range of devices here in, you know, for this to really be an effective tool?
On the iOS side, it's any device that is capturing a DNG file or can capture a DNG file works. Mm-hmm. So that means it's the iPhone 6S, 6S Plus, the 7, the 7 Plus, the iPhone SE, and the iPad Pro 9.7 inch. Those, all those devices can capture a DNG file. Basically, another way of looking at it is anything with a 12 megapixel sensor in the iOS world can capture a DNG, and anything that can capture DNG can work inside of HDR. And one thing I did want to make sure to clarify, and it, that in fact, this HDR capture is free. It doesn't even require a Creative Cloud membership to get it. You can download Lightroom Mobile for free, and the HDR capture is free as part of that. So the, you don't even need to log in. It's 100% free. Just you get it. You go to the App Store. You don't have to be a member. So just wanted to make sure I clarified that.
That's kind of a big point.
I mean, our whole goal is to work into anybody's workflow. And that's kind of what I was mentioning earlier.
Josh, thank you so much for joining us on the show today. I'm really excited about the new announcement, and I can't wait to do a little HDR work with my iPhone.
Cool. I'm looking forward to seeing your shots. All right, cheers. Thanks.
If you've downloaded the new Lightroom mobile app and you've tried this out and you want to comment on it, go to our Facebook page. I always post our podcast story there on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/thedigitalstory. And thanks to Josh for joining us. I really appreciate it. This is interesting stuff and another step forward in the evolution of our camera phones. Hitting the road with the Mifoto Road Trip Air. So I mentioned last week we have a new sponsor coming on, the folks at Mifoto. And I just love it when things come together like this. I have been a big fan of the Mifoto tripods for a long time. I have one myself. And I also have the smartphone adapter for my Mifoto tripod. So when they contacted me, I was going, this is great, because this is something that I chose, you know, way before I talked to you guys, and something that I've been advocating for a long time. And the timing was good because they have a new version of the Mifoto tripod, and it's the Air series, and there are three tripods in there. So we're going to be learning about the Air over the next few weeks. And what I've done is I got my hands on one. I got another red one because I love the red color that they have. And I'm leaving on a road trip, actually. By the time you're listening to this, I'm probably already on the road trip. I have to go to Southern California. I have some family business to attend to. So I'm taking a road trip Air with me, and I'm going to be shooting with it there and on the way down and on the way back, and then documenting my experience. And I'm going to be using my OMD EM5 Mark II that I just got back. That's the next story. And I'm going to be using the Pentax KP. So I'll be balancing both of those on this new tripod and talking about my experience with it. Just real quick, just so you have a feel for what's different about the new Air series compared to the Mifotos of yesteryear. First of all, they have a new Hyperlock leg system, and this is really fast. You just do one twist, you twist it counterclockwise until it stops, and then you pull the leg out to the length that you want, and then you twist the leg clockwise until it stops, and boom, you're done. So you can just imagine, twist, pull, twist, twist, pull, twist. I guess I should do one more because it's a tripod. Twist, pull, twist. All right, so that is pretty cool because, you know, the part of setting up the legs is one of the parts of tripods that we sometimes aren't as crazy about, as opposed to the really great pictures we get when we use the tripods. They also have a removable telescoping center column, which they've had before, but now it converts into a selfie stick. And it even has a smartphone holder and a Bluetooth remote. So, all right, that's kind of neat. And what I'm going to be using it for, I mean, I will do some selfies, but what I'm going to be using it for is getting my phone up even higher and doing my version of aerial photography with it. So that'll be another way that I'll be using it, and hopefully I'll get some good shots to show you. It's lighter than the previous series, 30% lighter than the classic Miifoto models, which is what I have right now. And it's available in a couple different models, actually three different models, the Backpacker, the Road Trip, and the Globetrotter. Seven colors for those models. I have the Road Trip, and it is in red. So we'll talk more about this next week. I'll have my initial experiences ready to go. If you want to learn more about this line of tripods, the Air line of tripods from Miifoto, we have a brand new tile on the Digital Store. It's very colorful. You cannot miss it. It's beautiful. Just click on that tile. It'll take you to our landing page on the Miifoto site, and you can learn about all three models, see all the different colors, have some fun with it. Now, if you decide you want to buy one, we can help you out because we have a coupon code. It's The Digital Story, all one word, and you'll save 10% and you'll receive free shipping. By the way, there's one other thing I got to tell you. And then, you know, I'm already going on too long about it. This is what happens when I like stuff. The pouch that it comes in, they've changed that. And it is a drawstring pouch that also, you know, goes over your shoulder. What they use for the drawstring is like the coolest drawstring I have ever seen. It is like this really wonderfully thick woven cord with a big old drawstring lock on it. And it's just neat. I mean, I just really, really dig it. So I love the pouch that they have for me to put the Miifoto in. And I love this drawstring system they came up with. And I'll take some pictures of it so you can see for yourself. Anyway, more on this next week. Big thanks to Miifoto for coming on board. I'm thrilled to have them here, and I look forward to taking some great shots and telling you guys all about this wonderful line of tripods. My first experience with the Olympus Pro Advantage camera service. So this was something that Olympus came out with in November of last year, November of 2016, and it's called the Pro Advantage Plan. It's $99.99 a year, and you need to qualify for it. So you need to have a couple OMD cameras, and you need to have like, I think four lenses. You'll see when you go to the site. I have the link in the show notes. I have the link to everything in the show notes. I have the link to the Miifoto tripods. I have the link to the Pro Advantage plan. Yeah, it's all there. Just go to the show notes. You know that already. Anyway, if you go to the link, though, you'll see about this plan. And I got it because, as you know, I've basically now totally switched away from Canon and have switched to Olympus and Pentax for all of my work, professional and personal. So I figured, man, I'm depending on my OMD EM5 Mark II a lot, so I better have some sort of plan for it. And so I went ahead and signed up. When you sign up, you get two clean and check coupons. And this is what I used to get when I had the Canon service too, and I love this. So the clean and check services, they include, this is what they do when you send it in. You get exterior cleaning, you get a firmware upgrade, autofocus accuracy check, image stabilizer check, function check, and sensor and optical check. Now, as I mentioned, I think I mentioned last week, I knew it was time to send in because I had just done the studio shoot and I had a big old dust blemish on my sensor that showed up on, I don't know, I forget how many shots, this is a lot. 400 or 500 shots. So I said, okay, I've been using this thing for 2 years. This is the first dust bunny I've had on my sensor. It could use a service overhaul. I'm sending it in. So I did that. Okay. So I sent it in on February 27th. I shipped it via USPS priority mail. I rolled up my camera and sent it off. And I just got it back today. And the way the procedure goes is that first you have to call Olympus to get a service order, a repair order. And so that number is 1-800-260-1625, option 4. Now, I have this written in the show notes, so you don't have to write it down. And if you're driving, please don't write it down. But it's 1-800-260-1625, 260-1625, option 4. When you do that, you get a Pro Advantage service rep technician, and then he will give you both the service repair number and the place to send your camera, the address. And the service repair number has to go in the box with your camera, as does the coupon if you're getting the clean and check thing. If you're getting a repair, then you've already told him what needs to be done, and you just have to put the service repair number in there. So then you send off the camera with that information, and then when they receive the camera, they'll send you an email. They'll let you know that they have it. Now, they received the camera, I got the email, and then I think it went out the next day. You know, I think they worked on it the next day and sent it out the next day. So it was a really nice turnaround, which is one of the things that they promise. So then I got it back on Monday, March 6th, which is today. So it just came today. So it was really nicely packed. It was beautiful. They did clean up the outside. I checked all the functions. Everything looks really good. I'm going to do some shooting with it. I'm sure the sensor is absolutely clean. Now, the only downside to it is that they do the firmware update. I didn't think that mine needed a firmware update, but I think they just do it as part of the service, and it wiped out all my settings. So the one thing that I do have to do, and I mean, even I had to reset the time even. So the one thing I have to do when I have a few minutes is sit down and, you know, program it back the way that I like it. That'll probably take me 15 or 20 minutes. But other than that, I have my OMD EM5 Mark II back. It is clean and beautiful, all shiny. It's just like a brand new camera. I'll have it on the road trip that I just talked about. And I just got to sit down. I'll probably do this at one of the rest stops or something when I want to take a break from driving and get that thing programmed up and shoot with it. If there's anything else that you should know about this service, I will mention it in upcoming podcasts. Otherwise, just know that I think it works well. I think it's a good service. There's all sorts of benefits other than the two free clean and checks. Fast turnaround times being it, you save money on repair costs, all sorts of stuff. So if you're interested in it, and if you're depending on your OMDs a lot more than you used to, you might want to look into it. I give it a thumbs up. I think it's a good plan. All right, just a couple updates I have for you. First of all, big thanks, big thanks to all of our Patreon members. I got your pledges just, I think, today. Yeah, I think your pledges came in today, and I'm going, oh, thank you. Right away, I used it to pay bills. My contractor is happy that I have Patreon supporters. Anyway, so just a big thanks to you guys and gals. We got one or two new ones, I believe, after the last podcast. So appreciate it. So appreciate you dedicating your hard-earned money to this podcast to help us stay on the air. Also, we have like a seat open for the road trip workshop, and we have a seat open, I think, still in San Francisco. And I'm working on the fall workshop right now. I'm not quite ready to announce it. So we have like a seat open in San Francisco, seat open for the road trip. If you're interested in any of those workshops, then just go to our TDS workshops page. You'll see the link on the digital story. Use the send me info form and I'll get you set up right away. And finally, I want to mention, be sure to visit our friends at Red River Paper. They have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. Red River Paper, our longest running supporter, fantastic inkjet printing paper. Not only do they have variety, they have quality, and they have good pricing. That is a great triple threat. They also have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. Longest running sponsor of the digital story. The only inkjet printing paper that I use. And I tell you, they are as much a part of our community as anyone, and I'm happy to have them. I will see you next week. Until then, you have a good week. Get some shots in. Make something beautiful, print something beautiful. Until then, bye-bye now.